Hi, friends. I'm Emily Lay, and you're listening to the Simplified Podcast. If you're looking for a place to slow down so that you can explore who you are and who you're meant to be, this is it. You've come to the right place. Every week, I invite you to take a minute and join me to look at different ways you can organize the complicated parts of life so that you can begin to build a life you love. I am so thrilled you stopped in today because we are wrapping up a three-part series on the show that I have been loving. We've been talking all about how to believe in who you are and how to use what you already have so you can start taking small steps toward building a life you love. Actually, I feel so passionate about those things that I wrote a book, a whole book about them, and it just came out. It's called Growing Boldly, Dare to Build a Life You Love, and it's available at your favorite bookstore right this very minute. So pick up a copy for you and a friend because everything's better with friends, and start building a life you love today. Okay, let's be real for a second. When you saw this episode had Love Others Well in the title, how did that make you feel? Did it make you feel excited or intrigued? Or maybe it made you feel a little eye-rolly and a little exhausted? Don't worry, this is a no-judgment zone. If we're being honest, loving others can sort of make us feel like everything I just mentioned, right? It's one of the most rewarding things we'll ever do and one of the hardest things we will ever do. And some days, or most days really, the needle is pointing all the way toward rewarding or all the way toward really hard. Lately, it feels like the needle is often pointing toward really hard. We've been talking about all of this in this short series, about how to grow boldly and how to build a life you love. And you know which block is the cornerstone of your life? It's people. There's a passage from the Bible you always hear quoted at weddings, and I bet you know it. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, aka the love chapter. And before it gets into the pretty parts about love, being patient and kind, it starts out by talking about what it looks like to live without love in your life. And spoiler alert, it's not awesome. Here is how the Message puts it. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Yikes. But it's true, though. You could have the job of your dreams with the salary and title and car to match. Your kids could get into every elite school. You and your partner could belong to the most elite clubs and zip codes. But if there's no love in your life, none of it matters. It's just stuff. And lately, I bet you've seen that as much as I have, more than we ever have before. Listen, building a life you love is fantastic. But what if this life you love could also contribute to the world in a better way? What if you could spread that love to the people you encounter every single day? How can this life you love inspire others and help others and serve others so that they and you can live well? I can think of a few places where you can start loving people well right here, right now, today. And it starts with your team at work. During one of my first corporate jobs, I was handed a book called The Servant Leader. That's a term we hear a lot more now than in the mid-2000s. And back then, I found that title so intriguing because those two words, servant and leader, they don't usually go together. At least they don't here in Western culture. So many times we think of leaders as the ones with the corner office and the mahogany credenza and the executive assistant who will bring a Diet Coke at a moment's notice. We think of leaders as the ones who make the decisions on their own while everyone else caters to whatever they say. Leaders aren't called to serve, right? They're called to be served. Well, I was called to lead, but I don't think that's quite how I define my calling. I started Simplified with the belief that I was creating not just a company that made pretty products, but a company that would empower busy women to live their lives well. And even when I was doing the work by myself, this was long before I could afford to pay team members to work with me, I decided to champion this idea of women living their lives well as a crucial part of Simplified's culture. Today, Team Simplified is made up of 9 women, and we do things our own way. I was at a conference in the before times, back when we could go to conferences, where I heard a speaker say, "My employees are not my friends. They're my staff, and we avoid drama by leaving our lives at home and not bringing them to the office." That was the day I vowed never to use the word employee ever again. I knew I wanted to run my company differently. I wanted to cultivate inclusion and kindness and creativity. I wanted us to focus on caring for each other like family. And listen, if my team doesn't bring their lives to work, I will never know who they really are. I want them to share about their kids' first day at school. I want them to tell me about the fiddle leaf fig they found at Home Depot. I want them to show me videos of their brand new puppy romping in the snow. I want to know the women I work with. I want to know what makes them tick and what makes them frustrated and what gets them excited. I want to be able to tap into the quirky things that get them so excited and help them channel that excitement into making something awesome happen for our brand and our community. And listen, I realize not all companies operate this way. And honestly, I can think of very few that do. But I wonder, what would our world look like if we started to lead our teams with a servant's heart instead of power and a firm hand? What would it look like if we valued each other enough to love the human behind the name tag? Could we do business differently? Could we expect high performance and the ability to disconnect and refuel? Could we love people better and change the world a little in the process? I think so. I think it just takes a few brave people to step out and try. Okay, so I've talked about running a team and acting as a leader, but even if you don't have your own team or you aren't managing others in your job, I bet you're serving as a leader or someone people look to somewhere in your life. I bet you're in a position of influence in your family or your church or on a committee of some sort or even in your friend group. In every one of these places, you can be a servant human. Friends, we all know we live in a tough world. Everybody has an opinion, and most people are really easily offended. We draw lines in the sand and make so many things us versus them, even when we don't have to. We keep basic human rights from people who don't look or believe or love like us. We don't pay all races and genders equally, and people are hurting. They're starving for equality. They're starving for acceptance. And most of all, they're starving for kindness. Maybe you're experiencing some of this right now. Hear me when I say this. No matter where you are in life, no matter your job or your skin color or gender or sphere of influence, kindness counts, and it costs $0 to give it away. Kindness is spread through thanking a customer service representative. Kindness is spread in that apology email you didn't want to send. Kindness is spread through that favor you do for your elderly neighbor and the extra little bit of effort you throw in at work, and the way you let someone know you're just thinking of them. And as you build the life you love stone by stone, you'll find so many opportunities to do this. Once you start spreading kindness, you'll see all the small places where you could start spreading it even more. Write a personal note with that order you mail out. Set a reminder for the day your friend's dad passed away so you can send her a note to tell her you're thinking of her. Turn down your little boy's bed in the evening and fluff the pillows while he's brushing his teeth. Text that friend who has a doctor's appointment today. Ask how someone is doing in a work email instead of jumping straight to tasks. Make your husband's favorite lasagna tonight just because you know he had a big meeting at work. And while you're at it, Love yourself a little extra too. Draw a warm bath. Put in some lavender bath salts. Light a good candle. Take a book with you. Go to bed a little earlier. Set the coffee up for tomorrow morning so it's waiting for you in the early hours. A little kindness and a little love can go a long way for your people and for you. So for the past few episodes, we've been talking about the idea of building a life you love. A lot of us are in the building phase of our lives, and it takes a lot of faith to keep going. Even when you have plans in hand and you have an idea of what you want your life to look like, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of belief in yourself to keep putting one stone on top of the other. And one day, you'll realize you're living the life you spent years and years building. This is it. You're actually living it. When I ask myself what it actually looks like to build a life you love, I think about my wonderful dad. So, my dad is affectionately known as Pop-Pop in our family. He is 66 years old and one of the greatest men on the planet. He is strong and he's kind and he's smart as a whip. He's the one we call when someone has a weird rash or when someone bites a bar of soap and we don't know whether to call poison control. That might be a true story, guys. My dad is brilliant and he is always right. You might be wondering what my dad does for a living. Well, I will tell you. He could have been a doctor. He could have been a lot of things. And actually, my dad dropped out of college because he wanted to marry my mom and start a family. So that's what he did. My dad worked for our power company in Pensacola for 40 years. He was selected for promotions that would have moved our family to Birmingham, Jacksonville, even Brazil. But he turned them all down because his dream was to have a quiet life in the suburbs of Pensacola with our family and live close to his parents. But he lost his dad last year and his mom years before that. So back in the before times, Dad was driving me to the airport one day. I say before times because, like, this is when we actually went to the airport. And as we drove, I asked him if he regretted any of his decisions to support that good life he was after. And this is what he told me. Not for one minute. I wanted to be able to take you and your brother to the airport. I wanted to be there when my dad needed me toward the end of his life. I wanted to be the glue that kept our family together. Then he pulled my suitcase out of the back of his truck at 6:30 in the morning, gave me a hug, and told me he'd see me at 10 a.m. on Wednesday to pick me up. Okay, those are the kinds of moments that really drive it home for me, right? So let me ask you this. What's the good life you're after? Do you ever feel guilty about not wanting it to be bigger or more? Do you have trouble celebrating right where you are? I know I have. The world makes us think we have to go after the great and big and more, but you don't have to. Building a life you love can look like slow and sweet and good. It can look like driving your grown daughter to the airport at 6:30 on a weekday morning just because you can. Maybe that's the life you've been building all along. Cultivating a life you love means cultivating a life of love. I hope that's the legacy I leave when I'm gone. P.S. Thanks for the ride, Dad. So as we bring this episode to a close, I want to leave you with a little blessing as you go about your day and cultivate a life where you're loving every person well. I hope you remember that the definition of love is unconditional. I hope you remember that love is totally, completely, 100% free. It is never ending, it is fully forgiving, and it is available to you 24/7. I hope you remind yourself that love isn't a well that will eventually run dry. I hope you draw from the well as often as you need it and offer a sip to the people who are thirsty. As always, I like to leave you with a little action item you can take with you. And this week, your task is this. As soon as you're done here, I want you to compliment the very first person you see, just because. Whether it's your partner, your kid, the Starbucks drive-thru guy, whoever. If they're doing you a service, tell them thank you. actively show them love that you're made of, and do it in a way that'll make them smile after you're gone. Maybe they'll go out and do the same thing. Thank you for listening to the Simplified Podcast. I hope today's episode and this small series about growing boldly left you feeling like you are the author of your life and that you want love to be a huge part of your story. And hey, if you would like more tips on loving and living well, you can find me on Instagram at Emily Lay, as well as at Simplified, and at emilylay.com, where you can find show notes from each episode, links and resources that are mentioned here, and you can shop the Simplified brand of planners and products. And if you like what you heard on the show today, then you are going to love my brand new book, Growing Boldly, Dare to Build a Life You Love, which is in stores right now, wherever you buy books. If you want more practical tips on how to build a life you love, then this book is for you. So visit your favorite bookstore and grab a copy of Growing Boldly for you and a friend. Okay, one more thing before you go. Would you please click over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review of the show? This podcast baby is brand new, and it would mean so much to me if you would leave a glowing review there so we can get the Simplified Podcast into lots of new hands. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.